All right, night two. It's good times. You all having a good time so far here, D-Town? Yeah, you are. All right, hey, I'm going to go back in time a little bit. 2 years ago, who was here 2 years ago at D-Town? Anybody in here? 2 years ago, I was not here because I had a baby, which was really cool. So my little boy Hugh was born 2 years ago, and I wasn't here then. And today, because of how it works in the calendar year, is actually his birthday. So since I could not be with him because I'm with you, can we send him a little video from D-Town? All right, y'all down to do that? We won't sing the whole song, but we're just going to yell, his name's Hugh. So we're just going to yell, happy birthday, Hugh. Can y'all do that with me? All right, here we go. You ready? Flip it around. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday, Hugh! Oh, man. Woo! Love you, buddy. So, yeah, he's two. And he's amazing. And hopefully you'll get to meet him someday. So, fun to start getting loud and getting rowdy. Who wants to get even louder and rowdy starting tonight? You guys want to do that? Here's how we're going to start tonight. We're going to do the wave. Anybody know how to do the wave in here? Yeah, you do. This section knows how to do the wave. I'm going to start from this side, okay? Here's the deal. To do the wave, I don't need some of my high school sophomore and juniors kind of going, I don't do the wave. I'm over that. I need everybody to be in. When you're in a stadium, the only way the wave works is when we go together. So we're going to try it a couple times. But we're going to start the wave on this side. You guys ready? All right, when I point to you, you guys throw your hands up. You know how to do it. Here we go. Ready? Go. Get loud. Get crazy. Get going. Ready? Come back. All right, hold on. We were a little weak on the back, okay? Maybe I didn't describe it well, but we're going to come all the way across, okay? We're going to come all the way across, and then y'all are going to send it back again. Can we do that? All right, I think you got it. Here we go. You ready? Set. Go. Go back. Come on. Do you think we could get a double? Do you think we can bounce it? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come across, back, and we're going to end back in this section with y'all going crazy. Can we do that, Plano? We can do that. Here we go. All right, ready? One more time. Let's get it going. Ready? Go. And back. And one more. Yeah. That's how you wave, everybody. That's how you do it. All right, now. Isn't that amazing what you can do with 2,000 people in a room? When people get on the same page to do the same thing, to get rowdy, to go crazy, you can see an entire room change. Now, what if I had one person that I told before, hey, out in the audience, just start the wave. No one knows it's coming. I just want you out there, and you just go crazy. Can you just imagine? Somebody over here is crazy enough to do it. Don't do it. You all know it's coming now. But, like, could you imagine somebody just sitting out in the audience and just, like, guys, look at me! This is awesome! And like he would wear himself out, and then everyone else is like, what is happening? Who gave that kid a Red Bull? Do we know it's illegal? Like, you gotta wait till you're 16 at least. It would just look crazy. If one kid started the wave at your high school, it's one thing to point and follow along, but if one kid was just like, come on! You're like, stop. But when we do it together, when everybody knows what's happening, when everyone knows what to expect, you can see an entire room, you can see an entire stadium of people that changes from just people sitting there to an entire wave that moves through the stadium. In our case, halfway across the room in a stadium full of people all the way around, and you can see the change and transformation because there is power when we work together. There is power when a group of people puts their mind to the same thing. to get rowdy, to go crazy, to move your body in such a way where there is a difference around you. We have that power. We together can make changes in waves in this world. When I was in high school, I was the guy that was on the sidelines. I was actually a mascot, proud of it, okay? I went to a lot of different schools, but I was a lion a couple times. I would wear a lion. Fun fact, no one can see you in a mascot costume, so there were a lot of times when I'd be like standing with a kid getting a picture and I'm smiling, exhausted, and I realized no one can see me, but I was the mascot. I'd be the guy on the sidelines as they're actually playing a game on the field, and I'm getting them rowdy and I'm getting them going. I loved to get the crowd crazy. I didn't like being in the crowd. I liked the one to be on the sidelines. I was like, come on, guys, let's do it. We can make noise. But when I was in the crowd, I was the guy that was like, I don't know that I'm into this. And not just on the field, not just at a game, but in my own spiritual life too, I wasted the we. If there's power when all of us work together in unity to do the same thing, to bring change and transformation to the world, I wasted the we in high school. Because here's the thing, I believed in Jesus. What David talked about last night, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but will have eternal life. I believed it. But did I do anything with it? I sat in churches like a lot of you are sitting in. I sat at conferences over the weekend like a lot of y'all sat in. I had a small group my entire junior high and into a little bit in high school, but I wasted it. I was the guy that said, hey, I'm a Christian. I'll hang around here. I'll be here. But I didn't let anybody in. I didn't let them know that I was struggling with a deep addiction to pornography. I didn't let anybody know that I was incredibly insecure and hurting. I just made it look like I was here to have fun and get everybody excited that, man, we can have fun together and be Christians. But I wasted the power of the people around me. I sat where you sat. I heard these messages. I wrote the notes. I have a lot of them. But did I just stop at belief? Most of the time I did. I just thought it was enough. If I believed in Jesus and I had eternal life, then I was good. But God calls us to so much more. I wasted the we. I wasted the unbelievable power of God that sits around you, and I hope that you don't. Because as Peniel told us last night, belief in Jesus will change your life, radically transform who you are. It will give you not only eternity in heaven, but it will give you a relationship with God. And it is epic and amazing. But if it stops there, you're missing out on the fullness of God that God has for you and for us. God didn't just come to save the world so you would believe. God came and gave his life on the cross so that you could have life in him when you believe, and then you would live it out so that others would see that the God of the universe is still at work today. What if we didn't just gather together as a group of people where we chant this, we still believe, we sing a song that we still believe. What if we lived it? What if we lived it in such a way that all of us together, as we lived our lives when we were together and in the world, made waves across this city? What would God do? With 1,800 students who at some capacity on the spectrum are going, hey, I'm working on this thing with Jesus, I believe, or I'm interested, or wherever you are, and I want to go out, and we want to do it together. What could God do? I've got this phrase that I can't get out of my head. And I've debated, should we go there? But I keep coming to it. Because we believe, we're called to believe. I know, it's super cheesy, but you will remember it, okay? Because we believe, it doesn't stop there. We are called to be like Jesus. and to live and love like Jesus, both to one another and to a watching world, because the God of the universe that came to give his life, when Jesus died on the cross to save us, he left so that we could be in the world and be his representation to each other and to a watching world. The two things we're going to look at tonight is that we need each other. We desperately need each other, and the world needs us. We in this room, we are God's people. And I hope that you'll see at the end of the night that we, all of us, still believe that God wants to radically use us in this city. Peniel talked about John 3:16 last night. I'm also going to be in the book of John. After John 3:16, as the chapters continue, the story of Jesus' life continues. And you see Jesus do unbelievable things. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in John 13. Jesus works miracles. Jesus has these unbelievable teachings. Jesus sits with his disciples. Jesus sits with the 5,000 and the 4,000, and he feeds them. And he calms the waters. He does all these amazing things. And the disciples are watching, and they're learning, and they're being challenged, and they're realizing they're broken, and they, you know, help my unbelief. And then the time comes, and the disciples don't get it yet, when Jesus is about to leave earth. John 13, what we're about to look at, is the beginning of what's called the Upper Room Discourse. This is the time before Jesus starts to enter into the Passion Week, where he's going to go to the cross. This is the Passover Supper, where they're sitting in the room. So Jesus has lived his life with his disciples, his followers. He has shown them how to live. They've seen it lived out in front of their eyes, and before he leaves, he's going to give them one last lesson. This is how you are to live when I'm gone. And he starts this time when they gather. It's a very famous passage of scripture where he washes their feet. And so the context of where we're going to be is not only did they get to see Jesus serve all through their lives, they just watched Jesus intentionally, specifically, purposefully, and in the most humble way possible serve them by washing their dirty, gross, nasty feet. Not as just a gesture, but as a way to go, hey, I'm showing you, if God is willing to do that for you, what should you then do to each other? And then we come to this little two-verse passage that we're going to sit in tonight, John 13, 34, and 35. It says, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The first thing that we see is we need each other. Desperately. We need all of us here in this room. We as God's people, we are his church. We are the body of Christ. Jesus did not come to die and give his life just so that you could have a relationship with him. Although he did that to give you eternity, he came and he died so that you could experience relationship with him as you experience relationship with his people, his body, lived out in deep fellowship and relationship with each other. Not just hanging. But here's key thing in verse 34. It says, a whole new commandment I give you. And he's going to talk about love and love for each other. They know this commandment, the greatest commandment. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Any good Jew knows, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to love. I got to serve my man. I don't know, church talk, whatever, heard that. Thank you. Move on. That's what they all thought. Jews had that ingrained in their head. Okay, yeah, I'm supposed to love him. And Jesus says, hold on, I'm going to take it further. I don't want you just to care for these people, although I want you to. I don't want you to just love them. I'm going to give you a whole new commandment. He says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Uh-oh. That's a whole new standard. Just as the creator of the universe, the perfect one who is fully God, indwelt in a man, fully man, lived a perfect life, has loved these 12 men, they're supposed to do that to each other. a commandment, not a suggestion. Hey, let's hope to get there. God is telling these men, hey, as I leave, here's what I'm telling you need to do. Love each other. Just as you saw me model all throughout these last 3.5 years, just as you saw me do humbly to wash your feet, to love you, to serve you, to go towards you, to step into your hurt and brokenness and grossness and whatever, you are to love each other that way. Jesus is the model. Not to just believe in him. Oh, Jesus, we're in. Jesus, we want to be with you forever. He says, guys, because you love me and believe in me, then live it out. Be like me. Love like me. Live like me. Not just to a watching world, but right here. This is where it happens. In the upper room, with the disciples, amongst the disciples. And guys, I said earlier, it's not just a you and Jesus faith. Your relationship with Jesus, it is intimate. It is deep. It is amazing that we, each of us, can go to the God of the universe and we can talk to him. But guys, it's never supposed to be just a you and Jesus faith. It is meant to live with other believers, dwelling with other believers, loving other believers. Jesus modeled it, and then he commands us other places how we are supposed to live this way with one another. That phrase, one another, we see other places in Scripture. Here, Jesus changes the game. Just as I've loved you, I want you to love one another. I'm the standard. Live like me. Be like me. And then we see all these other places how we are called to live and how we are called to love. Not just this feeling of love, but the practice and action of love that changes the world. Sometimes you may have heard Todd or JP call these the one another's. And I want to read you. We're going to quickly go through. They're going to come on the screen. I want to read you the commands that the scriptures call us to love as believers in Jesus Christ. These are not to go love the world. These are commands that people who profess Jesus is my Savior, my life has been changed by him, that we are called to look at each other and do this to one another. Here's what it says. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Show honor to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Accept one another. Care for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind, gentle, and patient with one another. Forgive one another. Be kind to one another. Submit to one another. Encourage one another. Build up one another. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Junior high just learned about this in Hebrews 10. You just spent 3 weeks learning how do we do that to spur each other on to love and good deeds. Confess our sins to one another. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. Serve one another. And all of it can be summed up in what Jesus has said, love one another. This isn't just something that Jesus goes, hey, look, I want you to just kind of think about this throughout the day. There is unbelievable space in the scriptures that have stood the test of time that calls us how we, as God's people, are to love one another, because I want to remind you, we need each other. We desperately need Jesus to save us, to give us eternal life. But guys, we live in a broken world. And even as believers, you know it because you live it just like I do. You struggle, I struggle, we hurt, we are doubting, we are confused. And so we need to be reminded by the community of the saints and the people of God who Jesus is, how he lived, and to love each other like him. For years, so I've got a small group of 12th grade guys in the Highland Park area. I've been with them for 7 years. And for a long time, they were at the same school. And I was like, guys, you have an unbelievable opportunity to be the people of God in your school, to live in such a way where everyone can watch how you live and go, what are you doing? Are they going to get made fun of? Probably. Are they going to get looked at as, man, you guys are kind of crazy. I don't know why you don't do the things that they do. Yeah. And for a lot of years, I had to go, guys, you're not doing this. You come and gather together on a Wednesday night, but you are not living together in unity, loving each other the way we are called to love. But last week, I saw it happen. I sat with my boys, and I watched them be the church to each other. I watched them live in authenticity. And I think sometimes we think of this authenticity as a time where we've got to confess this crazy sin that we've never told anybody. Oh my goodness, I have this addiction that I've been in for 6 years. And oh, it's finally coming out. I need to be authentic. Hey, if you're there, please walk in authenticity. But authenticity is not just the crazy stuff. Authenticity is anything that is keeping us from being like Jesus, loving like Jesus, and living like Jesus. Because of our flesh, because of our sin, because of our hurt, because of our failure, because of our doubt, whatever. And 12th grade boys sat together and one of them just said, hey guys, I'm just dealing with some stuff with my family. And he started to be in tears where he was hurting of the relationship of some of the people in his family. He just said, hey, can y'all help me? Can you pray for me? Can you encourage me? Help counsel me? How do I walk through this? He allowed our small group to be the church to him. Another guy just said, man, I'm having thing after thing that I can't play this season, my senior year, as captain of the team. I've got to go get surgery. I've got somebody who's sick. I've got somebody in my family who died. I've got someone who looks like they're going to die. One of the friends that I know just got murdered and died, and I'm hurting. And I watched them lean into him. I watched them love him. I watched him lean on them. I watched them encourage him with scripture, to love him, to pursue him, to encourage him as they confess sin to one another, to spur him on towards love and good deeds, to practice the one another's as they loved each other as Jesus loved when he was here. We're not just called to believe it, but to live and be like Jesus. Some of you guys, you sat in some of these sessions today at the breakouts. And you heard great teaching and you wrote these notes and you had something that was happening in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Maybe you can't even explain it, where it was messing with you. And y'all got together as a small group and maybe you shared, oh, here were some good things, and we did that as a small group. And we then quickly moved, hey, let's not just share the things we learned, but how did that affect us and how do we live it out so that we look more and more like Jesus? Guys, I hope that you know, whether you're a part of this church or you're not, as a junior high and high school student in Dallas, Texas, this is a place where it is okay to not be okay. This is a place where you can be honest, you can be real, you can struggle, you can doubt, you can even hate God. You can be in sin, and we want to love you. I had guys this afternoon in my own small group who confessed, hey guys, I think I stumbled back into sin recently. Hey, I used to be involved in running with the crowd where I would chase drugs and I'd chase alcohol and I'd chase the pack of the crowd and I'm not running there, but I want to. And we didn't look at him and go, oh my goodness, you're jacked up and you need to leave. We loved him. Some of y'all probably sat in similar circles and you confessed things and guess what? You're still here. And if you didn't confess it, you can. And you know what? We won't leave. Not me. We won't leave. We want to love you because we need each other. We need to depend on each other. We need to deepen our relationships with each other and not just dip in and out thinking that, oh, well, I can just do it when it's comfortable for me. We need each other. We can't just believe it. We've got to believe it. To be like Jesus, to live like Jesus, because not only do we need each other, the world needs us. Jesus first starts with, hey, if you're ever going to change the world, if you're going to make waves around here, if you're going to do anything where people are going to take notice, it starts with the way you love. The way you pursue each other, the way I pursued you, the way you serve each other, the way I served you. The way you give of your life. Jesus gave his life so that you could have life. He went to the cross for you so that you could cross over from death to life. Not just so you could go, whoo, I'm safe forever. Whoo, praise Jesus. But because of your belief that you would put that into practice and live it in a way where other people's lives around you are transformed because you look and live like Jesus. And guys, the world needs us. Verse 35, here's what it says. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. All people, not just the people in that room, not just the people in this room, but everyone around them, they will know that you love Jesus, that you're a follower of Jesus because you shouted from the rooftops. Because you stand on the corner and you evangelize everybody. No, by the way you love, by the way we love each other, and by the way we love a hurting and broken world. Guys, this world needs Jesus. They may not know what they need Jesus, but I know they need Jesus because all of you have friends who are desperately looking for peace, for hope, for love, for acceptance, for encouragement, for somebody to care, for somebody to notice them, for somebody to pursue them, for somebody to be a friend with them, for somebody to do everything that we are called to do all throughout the scriptures. They're looking for Jesus. And because the way we love each other, by the way we be Jesus to each other, we then get to walk together through the world, living like Jesus, loving like Jesus, looking like Jesus, and so that when somebody runs into us, they meet Jesus. Because guys, the truth is, if you believe in Jesus, Holy Spirit of God comes to live in your life. The power that God has now dwells in you. And together in a room of 1,800 students, for those who believe in the name of Jesus, God is here with us. That same power that was in Jesus is in us. And if the world sees that and they meet Jesus, that changes people's lives. Do we live that way? Do I live that way? It's easy here. It's safe. We're in a closed room. We're all wearing the same t-shirts. We're all struggling through the same stuff together. But tomorrow we leave. Monday you go to school. 2 weeks from now you probably forget all the points and all the messages and you don't even remember what KB's song was like because you're onto the next rapper and the next YouTube video and the next dance craze that hopefully we'll create because we want to make awesome videos, but who knows? It's a dream. You'll move on and guess what? You'll be tempted again. You'll be invited to a party. You may have somebody even ask, hey, what'd you do last weekend? And just like David asked us last night, will we be bold enough to tell them? Will we love and live like Jesus? Because the world needs us. Jesus came to show the world how much he loves them. And then he left so that you could show the world how much he loves them by the way you love them. Jesus didn't leave. Jesus spread out even further all over the world because Jesus is in us. And there is a world that is broken, that is lonely, that is hurting, that is desperately waiting for an answer. And for those who believe, we know that that answer, that hope, that life is found in Jesus. And you walk with him, and they can walk with him too when they meet us. And guys, it's scary. But what we want to tell you, that the purpose of this whole theme is not I still believe, but it's we still believe because you're not alone. You're not the only person on your campus, the only person in your school. You're not the only kid who loves Jesus, the only kid in your grade that's trying to live a life in boldness and faithfulness. Your small group is with you. And then look around you. You're not the only small group in this room. You're not the only group of students that's trying to live boldly and live out your faith in your school. You have 1,800 other people that are going, we still believe and we want to live this way. There is unbelievable power if we looked around and we believed it and we lived it. What could God do? And as you look around, you need to be reminded that the kids that are around you, they're not perfect. They're trying to figure it out. Most of us are hurting. Most of us are broken. Most of us are either struggling with sin or walking out of some temptation or probably about to potentially stumble again. And here's the craziness of what we believe. God's grace is sufficient for all of that. He didn't ask us to be perfect. He came and he lived perfect so that whatever it is that you've done is fully covered by the grace and blood of Jesus because he loves you. And in the same way he loved us, we get to love each other and we get to love a watching world. Look around you. You are not alone. But I don't want you to just hear it. I don't want you to just hear me say it and assume it in other people. I want you to see it. And so here in a second, the lights are going to go black again. And you're going to see yourself on the screen. And here's what I'm going to ask. In a room full of 2,000 people with phone flashlights on, you're going to want to just be like, I'm on the screen. I want to ask you to take it seriously. And then in a room full of 2,000 people where you're maybe sitting next to your closest friends, you're going to be tempted not to answer correctly, but I want to ask you to be honest. It's going to be dark. But the kid next to you could see you raise your flashlight. This is a place where it's okay to not be okay. This is a place where you can be honest and real and you will be loved because the Savior of the world already loves you. He's already given his life for you. I don't want you to just hear me say it. I want you to see it. So we're going to let the lights go dim. Pull out your phone flashlight. Put it on your leg. We're going to go black everywhere, on the house, on the stage, everywhere. So as you hear these questions, lights down. Lights down as you hear these questions. If it relates to you, raise your light. Who in here has doubts about their faith? Phones down. Who in here struggles with anxiety? Phones down. Who in here is afraid of being fully known? Phones down. Who in here has something that you haven't confessed to your small group because you're just deathly afraid for them to know? Phones down. Who comes from a broken home? Who has experienced heartbreak or loss in the last year? Who's ever questioned their self-worth or value? Who constantly compares themselves to others around them? Who's made the same mistake again and again and again and again? Who in here has ever felt alone? Phones down. Guys, you're not alone. You just saw a room full of people say that they're in the same place or have been in the same place that you've been. Keep your phones down. You just saw a room full of people, not just a couple lights go up, but hundreds, even thousands of lights say, yeah, that's me. I'm broken. I'm lonely. I'm hurting. I'm tempted. I need everyone in this room around me to love me and remind me that this God still loves me and he's still real and he wants to change my life and change this world. But guys, here's the thing. We're in a room full of people that a lot of us still believe. We're in a room full of friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of us walked in here with that hurt, carrying things that a lot of lights went up, said, I'm afraid to tell people. And guys, you go out into a dark, hurting, broken world that doesn't even have the hope of Jesus, that doesn't even know the hope of Jesus, that is just dying inside and wondering if there is any place that they can be loved, that they can be known, that they can be accepted, that they can be loved. And they get to meet you because we are his church. We are God's people. That's who we are. Called to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to live like Jesus. And what we are is not just this group of random individuals, this group of undefined people that are around and that are out there and God's working through some people. We are a specific group of people, of thousands of junior high and high school students that God's gonna use not just in the world, but right here in our city to change our peers, to change our families, to change our church. As we be his church, we aren't just random people that God's going to use. We are specific individuals that come together as we dwell in unity, and we are Jesus to the world. And I want you to see who is with you. And so when you hear your name, or when you hear the group you run with, I want you to raise your light. Lights down. Cooper Brown, Andrew Maynard, Charlie Thomas, Margot Gertz, Houston Jones, Lily McCoy, Carter Bailey, Carson Iltis, Ruthie Grant, Avery Durham, Hudson Hamilton, Jack Hamm, Corbin Monk, Maddie Bruce, Julia Sanders, Sam Brown, Jay Thompson, Sydney Cox, Jake Holmes. 11th grade, Richardson Girls. 6th grade, Lake Highlands Boys. 12th grade, Highland Park Boys. 9th grade, Boys and Girls. J.J. Pierce High School. Lake Highlands Middle School. I want you to keep your lights high. If it's you, I want you to stay lit. Lake Highlands Middle School. Or any of the elementaries in Lake Highlands. Highland Park High School. TCA. Plano. Frisco. Fort Worth. Junior High. High School. Guys. We are the church. We are the light of the world. We are God's people that God has sent here to believe in the name of Jesus and to live in such a way where Jesus didn't just die and leave. He's still present on this earth, and God is at work, not just through a random group of people, but his people that live right here and dwell in unity. You are not alone. We still believe. And here's what's crazy. The same lights that raised and said, I feel broken, I feel hurting, I feel sinful, I feel unworthy, I feel like I'm somebody that God couldn't use, is the exact same person, if they believe in Jesus, that God wants to give and bring light to a hurting and broken and dark world, because that's what Jesus does. He changes lives through people's lives that he's already changed. We are his church. And we're called to not just believe, but to be like him and to live like him so that this world is forever different because of Jesus. Let's bring the lights up. Guys, you're not alone. You're sitting in a room full of 2,000 people who believe. When it gets hard, we still believe. When the culture runs the complete other direction, we still believe. When we sin, we still believe. When we doubt, we still believe. When it doesn't seem to make sense, we still believe. When the world seems more appealing, we still believe. When I'm getting made fun of and persecuted for my faith, we still believe. When I feel like I'm alone, we still believe. Because you are not alone. And I hope you are reminded you have a room full of junior high and high school students that want to do this with you by the power of God that lives in you. So what is keeping you from being his people? What is keeping you from being like Jesus as we dwell with one another and living like Jesus in a world that is desperate to know him? What's keeping you from being vulnerable and real with the people who love you? What's keeping you from giving up the empty pursuit of the pleasures of this world and finally running to Jesus and fully submitting to him and finding life in him? What is keeping you from fully trusting and surrendering your life to Jesus? What's keeping you from fully investing in God's people and becoming a part of his church? What is keeping you from boldly living out your faith? What is keeping you from being his church? And it could be a lot of things. But guys, for those who believe, for those who still stand and say that Jesus is God, he's real and he's changed my life, we get to stand together and we get to love and be his people. To rally together and to show one another and to show a watching world that God's still good and he loves us. When the wave goes around a stadium, it's not just fun, some little trick that goes around and it's a filler. It is something that creates a roar in a stadium. Something that you can see a visual change, something you can see a visual transformation as people come together and it makes a roar. Because I started and we made a video for my son and I'm so thankful that you guys helped me. Y'all just yelled happy birthday to a kid that you've never met, but will you be willing to live your life in a way that screams the love of Jesus for a God who has saved your life and redeemed you from death and given you everything you could ever ask or imagine? Will you live in a way that shouts that to this world? Not just as an individual, but when we do that, that is how God changes this city. Todd said it earlier, this isn't your parents' church, this is your church. We are the church. We are who God wants to use to stand in the gap and to be his people. It's jersey night. All y'all are wearing different jerseys. All of y'all support different teams. All of y'all go to different schools. All of y'all are from all over this city. The thing is, guys, we aren't in competition. We aren't just people who are playing a fair match and the Richardson kids and the TCA kids are like, look, hey, you know, we're going to kind of try to do this together, but really we're better. But sometimes if we're honest, we live this way. But guys, we're on the same team. If you believe in Jesus, the jersey of Jesus is love. We all have different gifts. We all have different things that God's going to use us for. We all have different things that we struggle with, that we're going to have to carry and bear each other's burdens with. But if you believe in Jesus, you are clothed on the same team because the jersey of Jesus is love. I went to Baylor University. Anybody here Baylor fans? Yeah, you are. As an avid Baylor fan, I hate the Aggies. I hate them. I can't do it. But I honestly have never been more impressed at a sporting event than when I was at Kyle Field. And I watched, I know, this is why we hate you. But I've never been more impressed watching not just the team play and everyone kind of cheer for them, but to watch the 12th man of the team work together in unity, not to just do a wave for 5 minutes or 2 minutes, but for the entirety of the game to be as one, to cheer on whoever is in the fight on the field and to be that transformation that changed the game. And here's what A&M does better than anybody else is they link arms and they shout it together and they go as one in unison, in unity, and they chant what they believe. They believe that they're going to win. And KB said it last night. He said, we're not waiting for Jesus to win. Jesus has already won. We're just waiting for him to come back. And so as we wait, we stand together and we chant together. We still believe. And guys, that's how we're going to close tonight. We're not just some random group of people that sits in a room and gathers together. We are the people of God who walk together in unity as his church. This song was written for you as your anthem, not just for just you and Jesus, but it must be sung together as we worship God as his church. And so I want you to stand up. I do, and I want you to link arms. Come on. I want you to cross the aisles. Meet whoever's next to you that you don't know. They're either your brother and sister in Christ, or you can pray for them that they would be your brother and sister in Christ. And I want you to link arms with them. All right. Say hello. Say hello. Gather together. Come on back. Hey. This is our last time together. We're going to go, we're going to party, we're going to hang out all over this city and be his church all over this city starting tonight and tomorrow. But right now, we are 1,800 junior high and high school students linking arms together as his church, saying together as loud as we can that we still believe that God's at work through us in this city. So the band's going to play. The song that you've learned, that you know, this is your song and your anthem. Sing together. Sing with us.